From Ben Franklin Studios in Queen Creek, Arizona, it's the Radio 201 Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Angelo Fernando, your host on Radio 201. Welcome back. It's been a month since the last podcast. It's January. And I'd like to talk about an interesting topic that keeps coming back every time we start a new semester, and that is how technology has a habit of borrowing or stealing, if you may, from its ancestors. Think about that. You know, email is a classic example. Its icons and methods are leftovers from the snail mail era. Consider that. The envelope, for example, or the paperclip, which you see when you have to attach something to your email. These actually come from the old world, don't they? But it's much more than this. Think about blogs. Now, the earliest web log, or the format we used to call weblogs, funny name to even have to say weblog now, was really a journal, or the older word for that was a log, to log something in as a notation. To this day, a blog is something still that's very personal. It's always been that way, written in the first person. And it sometimes even reads like a diary that opens up little windows into the hearts and minds of the blogger. Now, a better example of this is really the vlog, or the vlog, the video blog. Now, a vlog is nothing more than a diary, often filled with mundane little bits of personal day-to-day matters. And I apologize if I made that sound a little condescending when I said mundane. I didn't really mean it that way to be trivial. But you know how diarists recount what they did, what they ate, whom they ran into? Well, that seems to be the material of vlogs, which is a long way of saying that we digital people are leaning heavily on those older analog forms. We seem to be breathing deeply into the leftover oxygen of those past technologies. And I thought, especially when I've talked to my class, I thought maybe I should talk about this a little bit more when we talk about the advent of a new technology. And this struck me again last week when I had my class engage with a longtime podcaster, a man by the name of Ivo Terra. Now, Ivo Terra is quite a legend, even if you have not come across him. He is a Phoenix-based writer and a podcaster. He literally wrote the book on podcasting. And by the way, it was called Podcasting for Dummies. I believe it was in the early 2000s. It was, how should you put it, a way of introducing people to this strange new format called podcasting, even when blogging was new. So podcasting and blogging were two very odd, newly emerging technologies. Now, Ivo is one of those most digital people that I know. And by that, I mean he doesn't simply come across as the guy who's always on social media. Well, who doesn't? He is intentionally digital. And the best way to explain Ivo is to say that he straddles both the analog or the old media ways and the new media ways. And he sort of finds a way to actually bring them together. Here's a piece of advice he gave my students about planning a podcast.
So everybody has their own different process that do this. So one thing I will say, and the question, the way that was phrased is, you know, when you get behind the microphone, where do the words come from? Basically, is the way I interpret that, right? So everybody's got their own different process.
Before we go any further, I have to tell you that we were on a Zoom call and the quality was not the greatest, so I apologize for that.
There are some people who are very good at just having an idea in their head. This is the thing I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the migration of monarch butterflies. I just made that up, right? That's my topic of today. They will sit down behind the microphone, they will hit record, and they will just start talking. And that's great if you're that kind of person. Most people are not that kind of person. I am not that, well, actually, I kind of am that kind of person, but I try not to be that kind of person. Instead, what is a logical thing to do is when you have that idea in your head, I'm going to talk about the migration of monarch butterflies. The first thing you should do is not grab a microphone, but grab a pen and paper or in my case, grab a keyboard and start hammering out some notes. I have a very defined structure for my podcast that I've developed over time. I wouldn't worry about that too much. But what you should do, what I would recommend that you do, let me change the way I say that. What I would recommend that you do is before you sit down behind the microphone, get your pen and paper, get your computer out, and write down two things, just two to start. You need your topic. And the topic in this case would be the migration of monarch butterflies. Riveting. That's your topic, but that alone isn't enough. The next thing you need is an angle. And an angle means what specifically are you going to talk about with the flight of the migration of the monarch butterflies? Is this about ecological concerns because we're seeing a reduction in those numbers? Is it more about the...
Which is to say, he writes things down before he pushes it into his two primary platforms, the podcast and the blog, which is on medium.com. Now, Ivo is also a meticulous editor of his content. In fact, he sends his first draft to an editorial assistant who checks and fixes the grammar and tense before all is ready for publication.
I had my outline previously. That was first phase. Second phase now, I've got a rough draft. I take the audio of me saying all of those words and I run it through a program called Descript. It's almost comical. I can't even spell my name properly, so it's never right. But I take those words that come out. Those are the words that come out of the transcript. I then do two things with that transcript. One, I send it off to my production assistant, Allie, and her job is to correct the transcript. So get it exactly right. If it's spelled my name wrong, spell it correctly. Do something with a bunch of ums and ahs, tighten that up a little bit, but make sure that it stays the way that it was. So while Allie's correcting the transcript, I'm taking the machine learning transcript and I rewrite it word for word, because the way I say things and the way I write things are two very different things. So I will go through that uncorrected transcript. And that it becomes basically that I take that rough draft and I turn it into a final draft. And it's not uncommon for me to rewrite every word. I mean, some I'll leave in, but I will change the structure of sentences. I will sometimes change the order of paragraphs. That's unusual. But usually I am writing more information. So I'll take that, well, and it'll be 1,100 words when I'm done with it because I've rewritten it. I fleshed out things that I need to say or that I didn't say more in audio. And then once I've got that finalized, then I, you know, do what any other writer would do and I ignore it for a few minutes, then come back and read it again and correct all the punctuation, other sorts of challenges. I also give it to my production assistant, Allie. Her job is to then read my final document and correct anything that I got wrong, you know, subject verb mismatch. I used is versus are, whatever else. And then finally, that's what gets posted. So that's my process of writing articles. I start with an outline. I go to audio, becomes a finalized article at the end.
You're basically you're editing your script tightly.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I don't re-record my audio. Because I spend so much time on the outline, I'll edit those out of the audio, obviously, before I feed it to the transcription machine. But no, all of the rework comes in the article. But I want to make sure that the article is as tightly edited down as I can make it.
Why is the article or the blog on Medium, why is that so important?
A variety of reasons. So Medium is just one of the destinations that the article goes to. The primary destination of the article is to live on my website, podcastpontifications.com. And then later on in the day, well, let me be very specific about that. So yesterday, the article that we just mentioned, the content strategies for your three different audiences, that article and that podcast episode both went live at 10 o'clock Phoenix time. Actually, the podcast went live at 9:55 a.m. And the blog post on Podcast Pontifications, the article, that went live at 10 a.m. Then on Medium, the article went live at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the exact same article. I go to Medium, I say import story, I give it the URL. Medium then goes to that post on my blog, ingests all of the copy. I do a little tweaking of the layout, and I set it to publish a little bit later on in the day. Now, I do that, and this is getting into some weird SEO stuff, but it lets Google see that there's another piece of content that was published that points back to the original blog. So I do it delayed on Medium now because it gives me a little bit of SEO juice. And the second reason I do it is there are people, like your instructor, who prefer to read content on Medium. You know, Medium has been around for, I'm going to say, 6 years, and a lot of people enjoy reading content on Medium. It tends to be not cluttered with ads. It's another destination for the content. I don't have to force people to go to my website. I can just take a Medium. If someone likes reading stuff on Medium, I'm there. And then the overall reason that I do all of this publishing of these articles is that you can listen to what I say. And that episode, I think the one I just published, was around 7 minutes long. And so to me, I think it's important that as an independent publisher that I make my content available the way anybody wants to consume it. That's why there's a video aspect. That's why there's an audio aspect. And that's why there's a text aspect. So you get to choose how you want to engage with my content. I'm going to make it available in all of those formats for you. I make content. It just happens to be starting with a podcast.
What an excellent analysis of blogs and podcasts and the relationship between platforms. I think this was one of the best explanations I've heard, and I'm so glad my students got to hear it. And I hope you enjoyed it too, listening to Eva Terra talk about multi-platform strategies for a publisher, especially if you are in the writing and publishing space. And that's it for us today. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Angelo Fernando, signing off.
Thank you for listening to Radio 201. You can find more of these podcasts on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.